Good morning and welcome. And this is the day after Christmas, but we'll still say Merry Christmas. I want to share with you today this message that I've entitled A Response of Joy. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we want to look at verses 8 to 20, very familiar Christmas passage. Joy is often the missing note in the score of living. Duty, devotion, and determination are all praised, but we often overlook the excitement of joy in the Christian life. Chuck Swindoll said there are basically two kinds of people in the world: people who choose joy and people who don't. Believers who choose joy do so in the midst of problems, predicaments, and the pressures of life. It's an old story. During the reign of Oliver Cromwell, where they needed silver coins, they searched, and finally they ended up in the cathedrals where they found silver statues of the saints. The ruler Cromwell said, "Good, we'll melt down the saints and put them into circulation." Boy, what a image. What a picture. Many saints in the church today need to be melted down by God's grace, and so that they can circulate in a lost and dying world and share the joy of Jesus Christ. Many church members need a transfusion of genuine joy themselves. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this season of celebrating the birth of our Savior, the incarnation of Christ, the second person of the Trinity, to the God-man, Jesus Christ. And Father, as we continue to celebrate the birth of our Savior and Lord, may we experience the joy that you intend us to enjoy, and to share that joy as you intend us to share. Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts, whether in person or whether online, anyone who's hearing or seeing this message, that you would speak to each one of our hearts. And Father, may you be glorified. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Why make such a fuss over celebrating Jesus Christ's birth? Well, why not? God did. God sure made a fuss over it. Turn to Luke chapter 2. And before we get to our text for this message, let's look at those verses before that that set the stage for our passage. In Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." That's the context for our text. God brought them to the stable in Bethlehem that night, and then he sent an angel to tell the news. Look at verse 8, down to verse 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for behold, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. "Do not be afraid," the angel said to the shepherds. Why? Well, he said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Good tidings of great joy. Well, let me just tell you, there are many reasons to rejoice with those shepherds. But three reasons are given to rejoice in our text. First, we can rejoice because of a personal invitation, a direct message to insignificant people. Shepherds worked hard and received little respect. In God's plan of the ages to redeem mankind from sin's penalty, the insignificant ones were his focus the night Jesus was born. And notice how personal this invitation was. "You" is used repeatedly. In verse 10, "I bring you good tidings." Verse 11, "For there is born to you a Savior." Verse 12, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." We can have great joy in knowing that we have a personal invitation from God to receive His grace. John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus says in that upper room that night before He was betrayed and crucified, in verse 11 of John 15, He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus Christ's joy can dwell in us. Those who really enjoy their relationship with Jesus demonstrate the glory of His presence in them. Those who are caught up in works and legalism stifle His joy within themselves. God gives each of us the same invitation. He waits for joyful responses. He wants us to totally enjoy His presence. And God's joy always exceeds our expectations. Second, We can rejoice because of a universal Savior. A plan to save the lost persons of all nations. Look at verse 10 again. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all peoples." Salvation is not limited to the privileged classes, but is provided for those of all backgrounds. The Savior was born to seek and to save from all nations. His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, a message of amazing grace to every race. Universal Savior, but be careful. Universal Savior, not universalism. Universalism is an unscriptural doctrine which teaches a final salvation for everyone, regardless of his or her trust in or the rejection of Jesus Christ. When we go to funerals, we don't point out and make big of someone who didn't know Jesus and is on their way to hell. But we also should not be saying, if they don't know Jesus Christ, we should not be saying they're in a better place. Because they're certainly not in a better place if they don't know Jesus. See, universalism says that in the end, everyone is going to get saved, regardless of what they've done with Jesus, and they're all going to go to heaven. No, that's not true. But we do have a universal Savior in that He has come to save those from all classes, from all nations, from everywhere on this planet. So the joy we celebrate at Christmas, it's not a sentimental feeling. No, this joy is a life changing experience. Not a once a year celebration of the world, but a day by day celebration of the Word. How sad that people can get all excited about the decorations and the toys, but can't rejoice over the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And then third, we can rejoice because of a verifiable experience. A joy which can be tested for reality. Look at verse 12. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And then if you go down, drop down to verse 15, "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." The shepherds could check it out. And they did. The Lord welcomes our search for Him, and He rewards us with His presence. Even amid difficult situations, and all of us deal throughout the year at various times and in different ways, difficult situations related to illnesses, deaths, employment situations, financial situations, family, relationship situations. This life is filled with difficult times and difficult issues that we have to deal with. But even amidst all of those things that go on in our lives and that we experience throughout the year, we can have the joy that Jesus gives. It can, that joy can stand up to all of life's trials. And why is that? Well, it's because joy in the Christian life, spiritual joy, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, it's not a product of our soul. It's not something that comes out of our emotions. Well, yes, we experience it in our emotions, but its source is not our emotions. Its source comes deeper. Its source is from the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. The fruit of the Spirit manifests in our lives and through our lives, and that's where the joy is. It's under the Holy Spirit's control. And as He chooses to, He will manifest in our lives and through our lives joy that touches other people, that expresses His presence in our lives, that ministers on His behalf through our lives. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and verse 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the second thing listed after love is joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. That means that these things are not something that can be controlled by the world. These are not things that can be controlled by passing laws and enforcing laws. The fruit of the Spirit are things that just don't have to do with us controlling them, but have to do with the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. Joy can be verified in the presence of cancer. Joy can maneuver through stormy moments in life. Joy can look death straight in the eye. As Christians, we're called to have the banner of joy waving in our hearts, promoting God's kingdom, demonstrating Jesus' presence ruling in our lives, even when the winds of adversity are blowing hard. Our joy is not confirmed by external circumstances or internal feelings, but by the eternal presence of Christ. Let me call you to experience this joy. Fully surrender your will to the Lord, to His control, and experience this joy and be a vessel of joy manifested to others around you. You do that as you walk with Jesus Christ. And you have a great day. Lord bless you and Merry Christmas. And you have a joyful and prosperous new year.